right, welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, note to self, Tom, your audience does not care about its children or its grades. Okay, just making a mental note, writing this down on paper. Okay, does not care about grades or its children. Okay, just I had to make a quick note of that. Anyway, hey, I want to get into a topic that came up late yesterday as a kind of a throw-in topic, and we got tied up in other things, and I wanted to bring it back today, and I've been threatening you with this topic for a while, and today seems like as good a day as any to bring it in. By the way, again, thanks to National Fuel and Joe, because there was what I thought was a gas leak in the house, and turned out to have been a knob, apparently, that somehow mysteriously the ghosts in my house, which is interesting because I don't have any ghosts in my house, apparently they touched a knob they shouldn't have touched and just sent enough gas into the air to make it seem like, you know, this ought to be checked out, because I don't play games when it comes to gas, and I don't play games when it comes to electricity, and I really don't play games when it comes to plumbing. But one of the thanks to National Fuel, and I certainly hope we don't go all electric in New York State, by the way. Getting back to it, one of the topics that I've been wanting to do, and I have thrown it out late on several programs, and I apologize for that. It's my bad, because I know it's a topic about which people have tremendous feelings of passion. First of all, I know that you guys love your music. I know this for a fact. You love your music. Every time I do any show that has anything to do with music, people always have an opinion. Always, without fail. And one of the things that has confused me, and I'm going to need your help on this, because I keep on reading all these articles on the internet, both pro and con, vinyl versus digital, or vinyl versus CD, if you prefer. The resurgence of vinyl for audiophiles is something that I must say confuses me greatly. Now, part of your opinion on this may very well be where you hear the best, at what frequencies your hearing is the best. And I will tell you that for my sense of hearing, to me, there is just no comparison whatsoever between CDs, or should I say streaming to sound more hip. I'll keep it with CDs and let you make the digital comparison yourself. But CDs versus vinyl albums. I will tell you that even as a little kid, I did not like vinyl whatsoever, because it always skipped, and you had to put that penny on the needle of the turntable to make sure that it wouldn't skip all over the place during a song you really wanted to hear. And you had to be immaculately careful with every single record album you bought. But no matter how careful you were, there was always a skip that would develop on the record. And it was always going to be in your favorite song at the exact time you had an emotional connection with your favorite song. Like, hey, right before the guitar solo of Stairway to Heaven, that's when you're going to get the skip. It never failed. I remember listening to Abbey Road, the Beatles. And Abbey Road, by the way, is, I'm sorry, to me, it's a better album than Sgt. Pepper. I know that that's heresy to say that, but I love Abbey Road. I really do. The second side is just an absolute masterpiece of music. I could listen to it over and over, and actually often do. But I remember listening to it on vinyl, and it was, obviously it was very, very good, but I didn't fully get all of the sounds until very early in the CD era, talking back in the 1980s, I bought the CD version of Abbey Road, which I didn't realize at the time was a huge collector's item in Japan, and I could have sold it for a lot of money over in Japan, but hey, that was the day before the internet. Well, not the day before the internet, but the days before the internet, so there was no easy contact with Japan, except through an A-bomb or two. But the... Sorry. Too soon? Okay. So I want to find out from those of you who listen to music, and I think that includes pretty much everybody, how do you prefer to listen to music? Is it the vinyl record? Is it the vinyl album? Or is it the CD? Or dare I say, is it streaming? Is it vinyl or is it digital? And I know people who swear by vinyl, who think that I'm absolutely insane for saying CDs are the way to go. I would much rather, if I have two sources of media in front of me, let's say, well, the Beatles, Abbey Road, and one is an album, vinyl, and the other is a CD, I'm going to take the CD every time because I like the separation. I like the sound quality. I like the fact that even though they do skip from time to time, if you take good care of them, they tend to last, I think, longer than the vinyl LPs, unless you're a total audiophile and treat your LPs with kid gloves. But when it comes to what you enjoy listening to for your musical entertainment, are you all about the vinyl records or are you all about the CDs? And it amazes me to this day, as somebody who was a young man in the 1980s who was so excited with the advent of CD technology. I can still remember some of the first CDs I bought. Toto with Rosanna on it. It was one of my favorites. The Beatles, Abbey Road, one of my favorites. And there were a few others that I'm not going to mention because I would find them personally embarrassing to mention today. The people who love vinyl, they absolutely love vinyl. And to me, vinyl, no matter how well you took care of it, no matter how quality your turntable was or your sound system was, vinyl to me always sounded kind of hissy. That's with an H. Always sounded kind of hissy and always sounded just a little bit, I don't know, just a little bit garbled. It didn't have, and this is back when my hearing was presumably really, really good. It just didn't have what it took to punch through. Another example I noticed this with was Queen, A Night at the Opera. I have it on both vinyl and on CD, and I've listened to both a million times, well, maybe give or take a few hundred thousand, and I'm going to take the CD every single time. And speaking of Queen, News of the World was another one. I had both the vinyl and I had the CD, and I grew to detest vinyl so much, and many of you are going to think that I'm extremely stupid, and I probably am. So many of my vinyl records, I remember bringing them into the radio station and putting them on the table in, well, I guess we used to call it the lunchroom. Now we call it the bistro for reasons that escape me. I guess so the bistro workers can go on strike on Red Cup Day. But all of those records, no matter how sucky they were, all got scooped up. It might have been the Carpenters. Yes, I said it. The Carpenters. But they got scooped up right away because I didn't really realize why there was such a demand for vinyl. Because to me, the digital CD was just a far better way of listening to music and having it sound just absolutely awesome. And I'll give you another example should I give you another example? Okay, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. I would so much rather listen to that on CD than I would on vinyl. Vinyl to me just doesn't sound as clear. It doesn't sound as crisp. That's the word I'm looking for. Crisp is the word. 803-0930 is the phone number. What is your preference? And do you think it has anything to do with objectivity, or is it our own selective ability to hear various frequencies? And I will tell you right up front that, like David Bellavia and people who are a lot younger than I do have some hearing deficiencies. If there is a noisy room and I'm having a conversation, I need to basically get right up to the person's mouth in order to hear what they are saying. Unless I'm wearing my hearing aids, which now that I've got short hair, let's just say that sometimes I go without them. Should we just say that? Okay. 803-0930 is the phone number. When it comes to music, what is your choice? Is it vinyl or is it digital? Is it CD and why? And I know I'm going to take a pounding on this today. I know that everybody who knows anything about sound is going to call in and tell me I'm absolutely nuts. But just keep something in mind. As a young man, I watched many recording sessions in progress at Select Sound Recording Studios. I took the class way back when, don't remember a darn thing from it, but except that I did count the number of guitars in the Eagles one of these nights correctly. But the sound quality of CD, to me, is so much better than vinyl. I don't understand people's fascination with vinyl. And I don't think I ever will. Nor will I ever understand how anybody thinks that Dark Side of the Moon correlates to The Wizard of Oz. I've watched the videos, and I'm sorry, maybe I'm just not stoned enough, but I just don't hear it. I don't see it, and it makes no sense to me. I think it's one of those urban myths, but that's just me. Let's go to, let's get some calls on 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. This is the topic I've been threatening you with, but now I'm actually doing it on WBEN. Matt, you are on. Hello.
Hey, Tom. This is actually a really interesting topic. I'm calling because CDs are even kind of antiquated at this point. I mean, most yep. people get their music off streaming services like Spotify or even on YouTube and things like that. And CDs are still the best quality you can get. All the streaming services are using condensed files like MP3s and MP4s and things like that. And so the quality of those is actually subpar compared to a CD. So, I mean, at this point, I think CDs are the best thing you can get.
Well, see, I agree. I would rather listen to a CD than something being streamed. I like the separation. I like the crispness. And I don't understand this this refound fascination with vinyl. Do you? Because I don't get it.
I completely agree. And I think that objectively, vinyl is definitely lower quality as far as, you know, like you said, separation of sound. We can hear the bass, even the mid and treble. Like it's much farther, it's much closer to the intended production quality when you're listening to it in a form like a CD or even an MP3 than when you're listening to it on vinyl.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, what do you think of the new the new old Beatles song?
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, you have not heard the new Beatles song Now and Then? You really haven't?
I really haven't.
Wow. Well, no, because to me, what's amazing about the technology of today is the way they were able to isolate John Lennon's voice and clean up the audio and make it sound as though John Lennon was actually alive and there during the recording session. That just amazes me. But when did you fall in love with the CD?
I mean, I'm pretty young. Well, compared, I never used vinyl. My father used vinyl, has vinyl, and does use it pretty often. But, you know, every time it plays, it's like you said, it sounds hissy. It sounds kind of muffled, and there's really no separation between the bass and the rest of the music. It's hard to hear even the bass in the music, which is something that's extremely important, I think, when you're listening to something.
Well, I think, too, especially, I mean, if you're listening to songs, I'm trying to think of songs that everybody would know, like Pink Floyd, Money. I don't think there's anybody listening who does not know that song.
Right.
I mean, even people in their 70s grew up with Pink Floyd, or at least have some passing familiarity with Pink Floyd. But, I mean, with the CD, which I keep in my car, because you just never know, it's always a good time for Pink Floyd, as far as I'm concerned. But that bass just stands out exactly to me like it probably sounded in the recording studio when they were doing all the work on it.
Yeah, for sure. But you listen to it on vinyl and it probably doesn't sound anything like that.
No, to me, it doesn't. But I have to put the caveat out there that it might simply be that you and I may just have the same hearing deficiencies, which don't allow us to fully grasp the superiority of the sound, allegedly, of vinyl.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
By the way, just another question I was going to put out there. Is there an album or a 45 in your collection that you look at and you think to yourself, I hope nobody I care about ever sees that I actually bought this?
Probably from when I was younger, like New Kids on the Block.
we don't judge.
You know, fifth or sixth grade.
we do not judge on this show, but you should call into Joe Beamer sometime because I think you might have a lot in common. Just saying. You don't go to Virginia for all the games, do you?
I don't.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Vote right, for digital. And, yeah, I mean, streaming is the way people are going, obviously, right now. But for me, sound quality-wise, to me, you can't beat CDs. Another great example of that would be the Crosby, Stills, and Nash boxed set. I think sounds so awesome on CD compared to the albums. And there's so many examples of why CDs, to me, are the ultimate. Let's go to Joe in South Buffalo. Joe, you're on WBEN. What's your take on this?
Hey, how you doing? I'll get this. I'll make this real quick. CDs are great. They serve a purpose. Audio tape, same thing. However, if you have, and all the audio files in the community, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have the right turntable and the right stylus or needle, the right preamp, and the right set of speakers, vinyl will absolutely eat for breakfast any compressed file or compact disc on the planet Earth.
Oh, those are fighting words. Those are absolutely... See, people have probably died in arguments over this. I could not disagree with you more, and I will tell you why. Because back in the day, believe it or not, I had the highest quality turntable that you could possibly get. I had a phenomenal... I'm sorry?
Was it a Pioneer PL518?
It very well may have been. I haven't used it in 30 or 40 years, so I'm a little bit... all I know is it cost a lot of money, and it was quite valuable at the time. It was quite expensive at the time. And Klipsch Heresy speakers, which I still have from 1983, I think the best speakers ever made, Klipsch Heresy, they still sound as good as they did in 1983. I will never throw those away. A very, very good sound system, and using that sound system as the baseline, no pun intended, what I found was that the CD sounded so much better. I added the CD player to the system, it was just amazing.
Right. Well, here's one more other thing I want to add to it, is that if you're in a square room, it's going to sound horrible no matter what. The room size has a lot to do with it as well. Anything that's in a square, the sound is just going to triangulate, and so the room that you're in can make all the difference. And one other thing, you were talking about crazy records, the Genesis Foxtrot album. There is nothing in the world, because I have both on CD, I have it on cassette, and I have it on vinyl, an original print, by the way. There's nothing in the world that can compare to, with the proper setup, listening to it on vinyl. So I'm going to let you go, and right. I'm going to let the community chime in.
The community,
in my opinion, yes, CDs are definitely more convenient. And I'll never, you know, I still have a CD player in my car, and I cherish it. And no one really has that anymore. But if you have the right combination, you can't go wrong. So have a good night. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, thank you. I appreciate the call. A dissenting view. The album I'm most ashamed of is Taco, with Putting on the Ritz on it. There, I admitted it. I'm sorry. The albums of which I'm most proud, the John Valby albums that I thought way back when. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to hear from you who listen to music. Where, like, how do you listen to your music? CD, vinyl, streaming service, and what is the best? And can you tell the difference? And I can definitely tell the difference between CDs and vinyl. And I'll have to sneak downstairs at some point and try to get you the information on the turntable I had. I do remember it was very expensive, and I remember going out shopping with my brother, and he was impressed. And since he spent his whole life in music, that took some doing. Tanner Saunders, what is this? Go ahead. You might as well just keep it cranked up now. All credibility I may have ever had. Probably not much is gone. Yeah, I bought this album. In my early 20s. Oh, but wait. That's not all, Tanner, because there's another album that I may actually still have somewhere in the basement, and it's actually an unbelievable album, and it's, well, I think you just ought to let the song play just a little bit just to give people a taste of the music of the 1970s. You ready there, Tanner? Yes, the Carpenters. Actually bought this one, too. Go ahead, mock
such
away.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see.
Uh-huh.
Not a cloud in the sky. Got
yep.
The sun in my eyes. And I won't be surprised if it's a dream.
Okay. At this point, allow me to speak in my own defense. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, okay? Yes, I'll represent myself pro se in this particular matter. The Carpenters, say what you will about Karen and Richard Carpenter, but number one, Karen Carpenter had an absolutely angelic voice. Richard Carpenter, an absolutely brilliant producer, almost beyond compare. He is as good as Jeff Lynne, possibly even as good as Sir George Martin. Richard Carpenter was phenomenal. And I guess the inner workings of the Carpenter family were basically Richard got all the praise from the parents, and Karen was like the stepchild. Even though she wasn't a stepchild, and that probably contributed mightily to her very early death due to an eating disorder. But my goodness, you know what? I'm actually, after listening to 28 seconds of the Carpenters, I'm actually not that embarrassed right now to tell you that I bought that album. Taco, okay, you can hold on to that and put it in your war chest to use against me at a later date, and I'll be like Russell Crowe in Gladiator going up against the five guys toward the beginning of the movie, but I'm not going to decapitate somebody with two swords. That's just not my style. Let's go to Joe in East Aurora. Joe, the digital versus vinyl debate, it's never going to end. Where do you come down on this?
We might be able to end it right now. Happy afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so let me, I will give a vinyl blows away digital. I'll give you a little explanation and actually a visual illustration. Let's start with the explanation first. With a vinyl stylus, it's an analog output to your stereo. And that analog output is infinite in its dynamic range. With digital, that being CD or MP players, MP3 players, your signal is a limited dynamic range to be put into a certain number of numbers, 0 and 1, and those numbers are finite. Although there's a lot of them, it is not infinite. So the visual explanation or illustration is with your TV, analog versus digital, when we went to digital. If you take a look at, if you've probably seen it, I don't know if you've never really noticed it, and maybe now that I say it, you will notice it, but when you look at, you have a TV and there's a fade, let's say from a white to a black or white to a gray, and it has that halo look, this stepped look, you know what I'm talking about there? Have you ever seen that?
No.
Okay, well, some people might notice that now. You might start noticing it. So when you have a gradual fade from one color to the other, it's actually compartmentalized because it's only they don't have the unlimited dynamic range. So you'll see it looks like a steps or tiers, one ring, then another ring, then another ring. And it's a gradual change from one color to the other, but it's not, I mean, it's not gradual. There's a change from one color to another. It's steps. It's not a gradual change. Prior to that, if you saw that on a analog signal on a TV, it'd be a gradual change from white to black. And that's the visual explanation of the analog versus digital.
Yeah, but okay, but let's give another visual to support my contention as okay. as the stylus moves toward the center of the record, it becomes harder to pick up the higher frequency detail accurately, and you don't have that with CDs.
I think that's a misnomer on your part. The stylus you're talking about tracking on the arm, the stylus is actually vibrating between inside the groove, left and right. Okay.
Let me just give you a source. Yeah. This is soundguys.com. Okay. These are guys who do this for a living. This is their avocation. And this is what they're saying. And I will tell you, and I'll let you say as much as you want to say. But the clarity of sound for my hearing, and again, this also might be a my hearing issue. The clarity of the sound with CDs as opposed to vinyl, it just can't be beat. And no matter how much you want to talk about the dynamic range of sound issue with vinyl. There's always going to be that hiss, that background hiss. Agree, disagree?
A lot of that hiss is also coming from your the transistors converting over, and that noise does come from the heat in the circuitry and stuff like that. But I will stay with, because you could actually see what I'm talking about. And that is the difference between digital and analog visually. And that is there's not that dynamic range. There's not that enough information. Now, don't get me wrong. CDs really do provide a good sound. But to a true audiophile with a perfect system, perfect stereos, a perfect room that you're in, you know, the stereo is actually configured for the room, you're going to hear a difference. You really
okay, won't. But okay, let's take this in another direction. A lot of times, especially when I was younger, I would listen to music with headphones, and I do mean you know, high quality headphones.
Sure.
And
sure.
listening with headphones, I will take Queen's Night at the Opera on CD any day of the week over Queen's Night at the Opera on vinyl. I mean, it's not even a close comparison. To me, it's not even a close comparison, nor was it when my hearing presumably was a lot better than it is now.
I'm not going to, you know, go after you with your hearing, but there's no way you're going to get the sound in headphones. They're going to be good. You're going to, you know, you buy $500 pair of headphones, you're going to have some pretty good sound out of them, but that's not going to compare to a system that's set up with speakers, you know, that, you know, you got the headphones can't put out the bass that you're going to feel with a good system with the bass. And it's made to replicate the sound that you're, let's say you're listening to classical music, right? You know, you with your system, you're actually tuned. You're not, you know, everybody wants to, oh, I got a great system, I'm going to crank the volume up and let's blast it. No, you want to actually tune the volume to the room. And that, so when you're sitting there, you could close your eyes and you could say, you know what? I'm sitting at Kleinhans right now, as opposed to, you know, so that, I mean, that's some of the stuff that audiophiles get into. But
what I've, you know, what I've read though, sir, is digital files offer more than 10 times the dynamic range of vinyl recordings. A much larger difference is possible between the quietest and loudest parts of a recording before noise becomes an issue.
I don't know what you're referring to, and I got to take your word for that you have read that. But
I'll give you the source, soundguys.com.
Yeah, Soundguys. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know who they are. I haven't heard about them. So, but here's what I will leave at, and that is, take a look at the visual representation that I just gave you, and now start looking for that, and have your callers tell you, ask, you know, if they're calling in, if they've noticed that, and that is, you will see with digital, there is not an infinite scale from white to black. It has to be stepped. It has to fall into a numbered compartment. And that's the difference between digital and analog, and vinyl's analog.
The point you've made that I would have to agree on this from personal experience is that the dynamics of a room, the layout of a room is so important in terms of sound quality. And that's why, you know, going out to hear live music, some venues are great with sound quality and others are just horrible. And, you know, you get and a lot of it depends on where you stand in the room. And it takes a lot of fine tuning. And that's why, you know,
who's on the mixing board and, you know, how much he's bringing up one channel as opposed to another. Yeah, sure.
And where the guy on the mixing board is actually sitting. And is he walking around the venue? Is he walking around the room with his iPad to make the adjustments?
Yep. So that's so, you know, going with you're saying about the headphones, you know, let's give you another example. You've got your phone. You're playing your music on your phone. There's no way that your phone is going to be able to replicate the sound, the rich sound, with the great system of Beethoven's Ninth. You know what I mean? So you know, it's limited. The speaker's limited into what it can output. But that's a different discussion. So I'll leave you with, because I do have to get going here, is start looking at that visual representation that I'm talking about with respect to being things visually, something being digitized visually. And you'll see when you're looking at a fade, it's got to be a fade. Your TVs nowadays, the colors, the pictures are, you know, fantastic. But it is looking good. But if you take that and try to do a fade, and that is where we're talking about dynamic range, is that if you look at that fade from white to black, you can't do it.
Well, let me simply say this. You talk about the TVs, and today's TVs do allow us to see the Bills lose tragically in greater color and greater detail than ever before.
Oh, that hurts, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Thank you very much. Look, I'm a digital guy. I do grant the guy's point on cell phone, because when I've got my cell phone hooked up to the Bluetooth in the car, it doesn't even come close to a CD. I mean, it's nice as far as variety, but it doesn't come close to a CD, in my personal opinion. But again, you know, we all have different hearing issues and different frequencies at which we hear the best. And for my hearing, I will just tell you that CDs can't be beat. I could go down and go home and go into the basement and pull out my Toto CDs from 1985, and they're going to sound awesome. If I pull out an album, it's going to be scratchy, hissy, and it doesn't matter what I've got as far as a turntable. And I know that I do have a nice turntable. It was one of the best that money could buy, at least to circa 1983. Okay, audiophiles of the world unite. Vinyl records, CDs, streaming. Where do you think you find the best sound quality? I'm going to take CDs every single time. And to me, as I listen to CDs, it reminds me more of being in a recording studio and listening to tracks than it ever did listening to records. Because when you're right there and everything's fresh and brand new, back then it was Ampex tape. That was stuff that was used, those giant reels of tape. Let's go to Todd in Buffalo on WBEN. Todd, what's your poison?
Yeah, hey, Tom. I worked with your brother many, many years ago with our friend Howard. And I will tell you that I think that a lot of the, the snobbery surrounding audiophilia is, Howard said it best. He goes, all of our ears are wooden. So I think there's something to be said about that. Even though he was somebody who sold audio equipment, and, you know, he was friends with our friend Jim from Loft, and, they were doing a lot of recording and all that stuff back in the day. And I still think that there's a fair bit of witch's brew in, the audio world in general.
What do you mean by witch's brew? I'm not up on my satanic terminology.
Well, no, they're, you know, records sound great, you know, when the record's clean and the needle's good, and, you know, CDs sound great. You know, I mean, are any of our ears that are exposed to, you know, the cacophony of sounds in our daily lives, are any of our ears genuinely tuned to hear the subtleties of a Stradivarius or some other, you know, sort of legendary instrument? That, you know, I don't think so. And Howard said it best. He's like, you know, all of our ears are kind of wooden at this point.
And that's very interesting. So am I to interpolate or extrapolate from the way we hear music depends on our own individual hearing situation? So for some people, vinyl is, in fact, the better choice, and for others, digital is the better choice?
Sure. Or if you're just listening, for the pure, you know, for the enjoyment of just maybe the music or the lyrics or whatever, are you really sitting in your car in traffic with the engine rumbling and the external noises? Are you really saying to yourself, wow, you know, this is like, the Sydney Opera House? Well, of course not. You know, I mean, you're in your car. You know, I mean, my car is quiet, but, you know, it sounds great. You know, whatever.
I generally find myself thinking, I bet the fellow next to me would love to hear what I'm listening to, and I roll the windows down and crank it, you know.
Yeah, probably so.
Hold on. If you got something else to say, I'd love to talk to you more about this, but I'm a prisoner of the clock, so we'll put you on hold. Hopefully you can hang in there. The great debate, CDs versus vinyl. Streaming, look, I, when I listen to music in the car on the phone, there's just not the kind of definition you're going to get from a CD, and probably not from quality vinyl, but it's better than nothing. It is 3:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. We'll take more of your calls coming up. A very controversial subject.